March 7th, 2017. And this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. From the Santa Cruz Mountains, coming to you from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Wow, I love that. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. Of course, we invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and all its eccentricities. And, of course, what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
Many voices. Voices.
Or something like that.
It's so silly.
Not exactly. Our show is sponsored by our good friend, Jeremy Bede. We became close friends with his mother, and she's just been a beautiful soul all these 40 years, and there's lots of stories there. But thank you, Jeremy, and thank you, Alma, for birthing Jeremy. And our other sponsor, and we're glad they got born, because they're the ones who provide Go Raw, naturally and deliciously, food for your health, well-being, and enjoyment. It's a 3-for-1.
Errol, tonight.
Oh, tonight. Now that you mention it about tonight, the word, it really is a word, or the phrase of this week is...
I called it a word phrase.
Okay, that works.
A one-word phrase.
Why?
Why?
No, that's the word for tonight.
Why?
Because we wanted it to be something that would allow me to use the word because a lot.
I asked somebody today, she'd ask her mother why, and her mother would say, because I said so.
Right.
I loved it.
Like someone asked me, in my imagination, actually, I don't know that anyone's ever asked me this, so I take that back. Why do you do this show every week? You know who asked me?
No.
It was Barney. Yeah, that was me. I was wondering why you both do this show every week. How much can you say to one another? I mean, my God, you've been talking, talk. But I'm just kidding, because I know that you have a lot to say, especially Rochelle. She can say so much in so many salubrious ways. And not many people know how salubrious her voice is. But Errol, I understand when you edit her, she makes little clicking sounds with the saliva in her mouth.
That sounds so horrible. I can't believe you're saying that.
I normally wouldn't divulge this in public.
Well, you just did.
Oh, I normally wouldn't, though. It just happened to catch me in an off moment tonight.
Really, Barney?
I did want to say one thing about why, and that is, why not?
Probably the best thing you can say about it. I wrote something about it. It's a silly little thing, but...
Yeah, quit making excuses and just read it.
I was trying to be like you.
Well, that was good.
Okay. Why, we ask. Well, why do we ask why? Because we want to know. Know what? That which we don't know. Is there an answer? Sometimes. But even the sometimes yields an answer. Knowledge is a doorway to everything. And why is the key to open that door? Why? Because I want to know about all that I do not know. With each speck of knowing, my consciousness expands until I know with certainty that I know not.
You say that to all your husbands.
Somebody might ask, well, why go on your why pilgrimage if you know you're going to even come into that place where you realize you know nothing? It's the journey that's so exciting to get to that place.
But there are some other compelling issues that are demanding the answer to the question, why? I want to mention them. First, why do we exist? Second, why is our country/government so divided? And third, why do men have nipples? to me, God was going, just in case. On the other hand, as Werner Erhard often said at his EST seminars, the answer to why is the booby prize. In other words, does it really matter why? It matters if the why is referring to the motivation for anything, or if the why is the reason for something to be done. It can matter a lot. Suffice it to say that for such a tiny word, why opens up a huge can of possible reasons, which is why we're going to get into the why tonight. Let me just say this, just in case you're wondering how this all began. As it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the reason, and the reason was with God, and the reason was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The reason. You're looking at me like, huh? Why? Why are you looking like that?
I don't know those lines, so I was interested in hearing them.
In the original, was in the beginning was the Word. And
right, that's what was strange to me. Yeah. Reason, you said reason, not
yeah.
Word.
Well, that's what I'm substituting.
Are you allowed to substitute things in the Bible?
They're allowed if it's a theological gesture to category.
And why is that?
Because they didn't want people just going there and monkeying around and putting their own words on the gospel.
But that's been happening over the years.
Well, anyway. There is that. That's why the Jewish rabbis would argue for centuries, really, centuries over these passages in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, trying to see if they could understand and interpret the word and figure things out. It's hard to say whether they figured him out or not because I wasn't there, but perhaps different rabbis figured out different things about it. But I'm sure they had a good time. Is that right, Rabbi? Had a good time. It was such a good time. The rabbis, they like to argue, they like to fight, they like to express their opinions. They say that, you know, if there's two Jews, there's at least three opinions. So I don't know. I think that's an understatement. I think there's many more opinions than that. The thing I want to say here is that I'm so happy to be a Jew. And one thing about in Judaism, the old way was that in order to have prayer, connection, communion with God, you had to have 10 men. This is the old way. It's not so much anymore. They changed it. You know, now it's 11 and a half.
You're so silly.
10 men. But then Yeshua comes along, our boy, and he says, I'll give you a better deal. That's a lot of people you have to get together for a minyan, but they call it to have a prayer with God. I tell you what, I can get it down to two. Two. He said, yeah, I'll get it down to two, because all you need is two who are in the spirit of allowing the exchange of love and recognition to happen between the two of you. And right there, you're instantly in prayer. Now, why? I don't know why, but I thought it was why that we went from 10 to 2 just because it was cheaper.
Rabbi, that was a bad joke. I almost call it an anti-Semitic joke.
I didn't. Oh, I wouldn't tell that. No. No, it's not that. I would keep it in the category of the bad joke. Yeah.
Why? Why did he say that?
Why must I bear with you? That was a phrase supposedly said by Jesus.
I think every mother says that to her child at some point. And every wife to her husband, and maybe every husband to his
wife. Say it again. What was it?
Why must I bear with you?
Right. Actually, he said, how long? He was more interested in numbers, because he knew that the question of why was an impossible thing to ask. There is no answer.
Each answer leads to another answer. It's like it never ends. If you have an inquisitive mind, which I have, you spend a lot of time asking why. I don't even use the word anymore. I know the word. It's there at the forefront of my sentence, no matter what I say.
This is an attempt to explore the search for the answer to the why question. This is a poem I wrote many years ago. old tapes. It's referring to my parents and myself. Here it is. They were two. I was one. Confused. Accepting. Them. What they said. Why shouldn't I? They were bigger and I had no experience. Just a child. Wanting to please. Not knowing what questions to ask. Please, Mom and Dad, tell me the questions. Please, what do I ask of life? They didn't know. All they had were the answers. That's what makes them so sad. They never had the questions. And now I look upon my child and begin the process of letting him go. And of letting go of my fears of his questions. Questions that I haven't even thought of. So that he can be more. All my answers must give way to better questions. Then they can be the answers for.
You must have been in a place so dark you couldn't feel the light. Reaching for you through that stormy cloud. Now here we are gathered in our little hometown. This can't be the way you meant to draw a crowd. Oh, that's what I keep asking. Was there anything I could have said or done? Oh, I had no clue you were masking a troubled soul. God only knows what went wrong. In the middle of a song. Now in my mind I keep you frozen as a 17-year-old, round and third to score the winning run. You always play with passion, no matter what the game. When you took the stage, you shined just like the sun. Oh, I, that's what I keep asking. And was there anything I could have said or done? Troubled soul, oh, God only knows what went wrong. And why you leave the stage in the middle of a song. You're absolutely beautiful.
Rascal Flatts sang Why. This is a song about asking why when someone that you know and cared about takes their own life. In this case, a 17-year-old young man. And Rascal asked the question why in a very poignant way. That's why there is no answer to it. And maybe that's the hint from infinity. It's putting something into our desire system that we want to know, that we'll never find out, so that keeps us eternally on the journey.
I hear you, and I have a hit off that in the sense that we want to know the things that we don't know, to know that there are some things that you don't need to know in terms of the way you think you need to know them. In other words, why did he take his life? Because he wanted to. He didn't want to be here anymore. What I'm saying is, what makes it profound is the inquisitive mind that looks for profundity in things.
That reminds me, I was listening to an audio tape of Gangaji. I don't know if you listeners are familiar with Gangaji, but she ran for the Senate in Iowa.
Errol, that's true.
She's a spiritual teacher and just an amazing, beautiful soul with a wonderful sense of humor. And she was talking about some point in which she was studying with her guru, who died some years ago. Someone had sent in some questions, and he wanted his disciples, his followers, to answer these questions. So he went around and he asked them all what their answer was to these dilemmas. And there were one dilemma was some guy who was in India, but he was living over an auto shop that never shut down, driving crazy. And Gangaji said, what you should tell the guy, it's an opportunity for consciousness to become aware and just, you know, meeting the situation, blah, blah, blah. And they all answered these kind of questions in this kind of way. And then when the thing came on and they asked the teacher, well, what would you tell the guy? And he said, move.
That's exactly what I thought you were just going to say.
If I may barge in here, you said something there that just got me going. This is Father O'Malley, and that's the why is like a little door opener into the land of the eternal. It's like something you hop on because it just feels like such a good ride. It's a big tease it is there, because the why keeps offering suggestions as to why and what's behind it all. And you get up right to it, and then why winks at you and goes, oh, not quite. Let's move on down to this possibility here. And it gets you, oh, this is why. It's why it's important to remember there that the world of spirit, of religion, for some people, asks the question why. It asks the unanswerable question. Science, of course, answers the question how. And sometimes they get together and have a howie or a wee how. Depending upon what kind of mood they're in. But if you asked me to ask them that, I would ask him why. They would say back to me the thing that they're always saying. And it was what you said there a little early, Barney. Why not? Thank you. That was good. One of the things that why brings to mind, it really makes you realize what a fool you are. That just raises that whole issue. Why do fools...
Fall in love.
That was so fun.
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. 1956. I suspect they're not teenagers anymore.
Oh, my God.
And why is that? Because we age. Now, that's a curious thing to put the why in front of. Why do we age? Why is that a phenomenon of this mortal physical self, and it comes into existence, and then it meets life, and then unless it's nipped off early in the bud or budded off early in the nip, either way, it ages. It starts decomposing, and it goes back to dust.
Dust unto dust.
Ashes to ashes.
You know, I know that there's any answer that one could come up with about something as profound as we age. It's because it's so obvious that people don't seem to, for the most part, ask why of the obvious.
Well, here,
and that's how you go further, asking why of the obvious.
That reminds me of a phrase that is very like this. It says, the beginning of wisdom is a firm grasp of the obvious.
Ah. I like that.
But see, the why, from our perspective, and it's something I'm more and more trying to live into, and that's the perspective that we think of as spiritual, but the way I look at it is that this piece of consciousness and then self-awareness consciousness is thrust into this finite phenomena where all these things are scattered everywhere. It meets it in this body form with these only, you know, five senses. They didn't want to overwhelm these creatures with lots of senses, you know. They're going to get what, their hundreds that they're going to get when they keep evolving? No. Well,
we went to the non-senses.
Yeah, yeah, with five senses, believe me, the universe is saying to those people, it'll be enough.
That's all they can handle. They're pretty young.
That this beingness is thrust into in this particular point of view, which is each of us, because we're all a different point of view. And it's like infinity gets to parcel out itself into these different finite points of view. And it goes into this body, but it doesn't need it for very long. It's just a way to begin to, you know, start touching reality. And then, because the being soulness already exists. Now it's like grabbing this mortal combination of facets and attributes, that is someone's self, and pulling them along and wearing them like a garment. But it's still me, the ever-present origin happening, moving through reality that's taking place.
And why?
That's the part I haven't figured out yet, is the why.
I think it's very interesting when we are in a certain state of mind. The why has taken me to this state of mind, but there's a place where you can't ask why, because you're so in it that you become the why. So it's like you can't ask it because you are it. You become the why, and all the answers that you might need are there within this container. And wouldn't that be neat?
It goes back to what you said before. Because I said so. See, in the burning bush story, when he went up there and said, God, who are you? And then
Moses. Joke is coming. No, a joke is coming.
No. Don't. It's not fair. It's not fair to the joke.
Well, I don't know, but yeah, I can see it. That's the fun part.
But he asked why. After he said, I am that I am, God, then Moses said, well, why?
Uh-huh.
And then God said, because I said so. And they left it at that.
That's true.
And they agreed.
That's the only mother God, Father God we know.
And they agreed not to disagree. And that's why we love them. But here's someone that I love.
Our mothers knew. They knew who was ruling the roost.
This is a gal we discovered recently, Cindy Stratton. I found this song of hers. What the song is about and how she sings it, the why will be obvious.
Gather around you, children. Here's a little piece of history. When I first met your daddy, where are we?
it's poetry in motion, poetry in motion, poetry in motion, and that's how it should be. Now that you are older, the big wheel of life moves on, and soon you will be finding partners of your own. But don't look for perfection individually, 'cause it's harmony that matters, and that's how it should be. Yes, it's harmony that matters, and that's how it's supposed to be. Harmony that matters, and that's how it should be. And it's poetry in motion, poetry in motion, poetry in motion, and that's how it should be. Poetry in motion, poetry in motion, poetry in motion, how it should be.
Sometimes I write a poem and sometimes I be one. I stand up and curve my stance, toss out variables into an otherwise linear conversation to see if an image returns. Sometimes I am a metaphor for myself. I swipe away yesterday's image and appear on the stage all dressed up in a new costume simile. I shadow regular everyday perceptions with distortions in expectation, tailing a bumper down the road, honking Dixie on my horn or some other offbeat tune. Anything to remind me that where I think I'm going is not so important as the poem I make getting there.
The poem I make getting there? I like that. Ooh. I like that.
Yeah, poetry in motion. That's called poetry of being. I wanted to share something that I thought was funny today. I'm watching this documentary about how money evolved and all the different aspects of money, how insurance came about and stocks and bonds and how it evolved out of trade and coins and currency and just all the fundamental aspects of all the ways money has been.
He's Why?
Okay, I'm going to need some help here. Perhaps I can tell why, because this is Professor Umbridge. Errol likes to ride a Y, like some people like to ride the subway. Errol is someone who likes to get into Y and on the Y because he likes the bumpy road of questioning that he'll come across as he stammers into the next moment, wondering what happened to the last one and why he couldn't stay there. But, of course, he didn't have time for any of that because the next moment appeared before he got to the rest of any given letter in that sentence. But why, we ask, why?
I understand that.
Yes. Why is it that the...
Why is he studying all this stuff about money?
He's trying to understand about evolution, my dear, and do his part. Say it's too diligent for Errol. Yes, he feels like he needs to do his part in acquainting himself with the phenomena of normal activity and events in the world after having lived as a somewhat of a mystic in a bubble for so long. Of course, he still lives in the bubble, but at least he can listen to things and sights and sounds outside of the bubble. That would be my answer to the question is why.
I think you hit it on the head, Professor Umbridge. But you can't read about it to find out about it. You have to deal in it. I mean, you can read about it and it'll go.
Read about what?
Money.
Oh, well, but wait. Let me tell you the story before we get all caught up away from the story.
Okay.
He gets to the point in history, it's in the late 1600s, early 1700s, and there's this character who shows up on the scene who basically invented stocks, but he's such a colorful character. His name was John Law. He was a Scotsman from Edinburgh. And he hooked Wink himself and all these people. He created one of the biggest Ponzi schemes that ever existed. He was getting people to invest money, and it was called the Mississippi Bubble, because he got all these French people to invest in this guaranteed to be profitable adventure, which was the Mississippi line along the Mississippi in Louisiana. And the French people were coming out in droves to invest their money. They were taking up the street. They were renting houses. There was the story of a tailor or somebody who would, you know, rent out his shop to these people so they could be writing what they wanted to invest in, blah, blah, blah. And it was flooded with all these people and then pickpockets. And this guy, who had been a murderer, he killed someone in a duel, and he was a gambler. He was like this kind of rogue, but he was evidently really smart, and he thought of this great idea, and he happened to befriend the Duke of d'Orléans, who was the king's uncle, or the about-to-die king, Louis XIV, was his, cousin, He was going to be the regent. Mm-hmm. He turns into the regent because Louis XV was, you know, like 6 months old. And he got along with this guy, John Law, and they created this scheme that started stocks, but it just like blew up in their face, like all of them.
Wow. What happened?
I haven't read the details, and I'm reading the details now.
Tune in next week. You'll find out what happened, because I want to know.
But it's the kind of thing that should be a movie. It's the character and what happened in 18th century France. It should be like a Mel Brooks movie, because you got all these people lined up to invest their money, and anybody, dukes, duchess, they were fighting. It was a scene. That's why I think it should be a movie.
Very good. Okay. Cool. Any of you movie script writers out there looking to make a movie? Hey, we got a good idea.
Speaking of doing that, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. And being serious here, my email address is estrider@gmail.com.
But don't cry, honey. It's okay.
Should you send some remark or question or query? I especially like queries. I knew a few queries when I went to
high school, but
they never evolved the way we expected them to. Stop. I'm just describing the queries.
Why are you doing that?
Because I wanted to give them my email address, and I want to thank our sponsors, Jeremy B., one more time, and Go Raw. And I want to address the listener out there, because you've been holding back in our relationship. You know, we come on here every week, we give, you know, talk. And you may think there's no room for you in our conversation. There actually is. You can impart your version of why, or why not, or why for.
And where are they going to do this?
At estrider@gmail.com. All right.
You sound like, what's his name, Boris Karloff?
Okay, so why did evolution? There's this phenomena that we, if you're paying attention, kind of agree is a phenomenon in life. It evolves and it becomes life and it does different things, and then it does evolve, meaning it becomes other more diverse things. But there's something that it seems to be going toward. I think you could argue that one of the things it evolved toward was making it possible for matter to have consciousness.
That's pretty neat. Why?
Because it had nothing better to do.
Let me try that one. Yeah, that's nothing, good enough.
Nothing better to do with itself.
You know, when you set a wheel into motion, or you set a pebble into motion, it can create an avalanche if it's moving in the right direction. And it just moves in a certain way. And so once you set it in motion, I'm thinking about the universe from my perspective, my point of view. Something has been set in motion. We would like to think that a grand scheme has put it all together. Maybe that's true, but the motion is what we're involved in. We're part of that motion. We are part of that motion, you know, moving towards something, from something.
In other words, we are the poetry in motion.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice.
That was good. Oh, man. You want to have a cigarette? Why don't y'all have a joint or something while I play you this song, just because it's such a pretty, I don't say pretty, it is certainly a heartfelt approach to the question of why. Yeah. The soul's really asking the question. Sung by Annie Lennox. That was like the orchestration in her voice and the question in her soul. One of the lines is, why couldn't I keep my big mouth shut? You know, and then the words coming out of his mouth, she kept repeating that lyric coming down, down, these words coming down. But thank you, Annie Lennox, for taking us on that ride. And while
what was the name? Was it Why?
Yeah, Why. And while I was listening to that, I got the answer.
An answer.
Remains to be seen.
Okay.
So ask me the question.
Why?
Music.
Why? The answer is music.
Yeah. That's a good answer, I think.
That's beautiful.
Music. Think about what's come about. There we are. And there's sounds, of course, as we're evolving. And then there's, you know, everything from birds in the forest to the clashing of swords. The wind and the trees and all through evolution. And then there's this thing that happened in the Renaissance. And just prior to that, it started earlier where there were horns, there were things. But then this thing came about that is modern music and all its amazing expressions.
Well, like the most exciting thing about it is they all these different instruments are playing in harmony. You had drums and you had drummers playing in harmony, but these were all different instruments.
Here's an answer to a question of why about something that, of course, like most whys, would be a partial why. The why that I'm referring to is a post-dated why.
Post-dated?
Yeah, like a check. It's a post-dated. Don't ask this why while I'm still alive. But when I'm dead, you can ask this why. It's a post-dated why.
Okay.
In other words, you can't open this why until it's time to open this why. But the why that I was thinking about was music, and it repeats itself on this scale. Every eighth note, it comes back to this thing that it shares in common, C, and then the C up the next octave, and the C and the octave before it, they like know each other. Wow, hi. You know, and then they got relatives, they got cousins, E and F, and depends on what the key is. And the fact that there are keys and that it works to have music, but it has to play in the same key in order to work. If it doesn't, it's just chaos and it's abrasive. And that is the answer to why, or more accurately, what. In this culture, in this time of divisiveness, and we've come there before, we need to grease and lubricate the rusted wheels of movement that can transpire between us that we need so desperately to get the energy moving between us and move away from separation. And if we don't, then we are destined to have it removed because it can't exist.
That's our destiny. It's impossible for it not to happen. I was reading the other day, the time that we're in, technologically speaking, is creates greater and greater and greater connection because it's instantaneous. So if an iceberg drops into the water, all the shores begin to experience it. It's like we're connected by all that water. So if, you know, we're starting to cut down trees and it's really getting hard to breathe, we're all not breathing too good.
By the way, there is a little cove in Miami Beach that it never quite gets to. Because Bonnie, I just wanted to say that. You know, you said
what happens. But because this particular, all the water is connected.
I like to take you sometime to that cove. Errol, I don't mean nothing by it, you know, nothing personal, fella, you know. But sometimes I sit with your wife here and you, and I think, if you weren't here, then, but I didn't want to say anything to you. I beg your pardon? No, I got nothing to say. Okay.
Bonnie, where are you coming from?
It was something I ate. Yeah, I think it was bad sauerkraut. I don't mean nothing personal here, but I got distracted. Okay, Barney, that's all right. It happens to the best of
us. But just don't expect to come back.
Yeah, why, Barney? Why? why? Why would you go there? Why would you do that? Why would you intrude with this? Okay, that's all right. Okay. All right. I'm going to get back to the fact that it repeats, seven repeats, and then in the chemical periodic chart, there's a rhythm pattern of seven, and then the eighth one, it repeats, like they're in the same key. I guess that means that there's the same amount of outer electrons or something on them. So I went back, and this is where the Arantxa book was so helpful. It says there's a reason for seven. And I go, why? And it said, yeah, because you see, first there was one. But one couldn't be eternally self-contained. Its nature, by its nature of the one, was to just, if it's love, if that's its nature, what do you do when you're love? What do you do with your time? You got to just share, infinitely share all being, everything about you. Absolutely. Share it.
But one would expect that since love, there's no lack in love. Therefore, there's no reason not to.
So then what happens is you explode out with that, what ends up being a mirror image of yourself. And then you're so now inclusive and you're looking at each other. the expression of your relationship to itself comes into being and explodes reality into what we know as the universe and evolution. And that's a three of the seven. And then you have the different relationships of the first with the third and the second with the third and the second with the first. And then you have all three of them acting together. And that comes to seven. And so you have the
pattern. Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Did I do it right, Professor Schnitzel? Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it quite like that, but, you know, you're not trained on this field here, but you do as best as you can with the limited knowledge that you have. Well, I would suggest that you acquire more knowledge before you try and explore these subjects. But I am not a scientist, don't I? This is what I'm telling you, that evolution has within it this capacity to continue to express diversity. On the diversity, when it becomes conscious, oh, it's a universe is applauding everywhere. All the other conscious parts of the universe are going, way to go. And they are yelling and trying to get through. And the message is getting through. And if you look at the stars at night, the next time you feel laughter or love or even music, you just stop and you ask yourself, why? And why will come and inform you of itself in a way that you couldn't have imagined, but you could only find out if you asked the question.
I can't even begin to remember when I started asking why, but I think every child goes into that space. How parents deal with the child's why, I'm sure begins to shape them in some way. I had lots of don't ask why or because I said so's to many of my whys. No, I think my dad listened quite a bit. He answered what he believed was so, which was kind of nice. It felt good, but it didn't feel complete, but it felt good. And so I can't stop asking why.
So here we are in the exploration of why. What's interesting is why's brother? What? And their older sister, who? It's a family of them. It's the family of the huh sound. Because all those words begin with what? Why? Now, why this is important, when I was in college and studying to be an actor and growing up in Missouri, I didn't say what or why. I would say what or why. I would put the plosive right at the beginning of the letter. But in my speech and acting training, they said, no, you have to put a in there, like blow into the word to puff it up so it can come out. And if you don't puff it up with your what, then it's left all alone by itself, just being what. You see, it doesn't know where to go because it's just what.
I can't imagine a teacher teaching it to you like that. But
when you put the what in front of it, it's like a wind in its sail, and it can take off, and it can be what, wherever, you see, and picks up.
or when,
whenever it wanted. And that's the story of
Very good, very good. I applaud that. That's a fun story.
So what we have to say about why is that it's a phenomenal journey into the unknowing. If you keep asking why with enough perseverance, it just will keep opening you up to take in more reasons that are auditioning to be the reason that you pick in any given moment to satisfy yourself that that's why, or at least that's enough of the why, or in this case, the why, to get you to the next.
The wind in his sail. That is a wind. Now, if they had really been nice, they would have made it W-H-I-N-D, and you'd have to go, wind.
But one thing I have to say that I think is crucial in this thing is that, remember, whatever the answer else is, it's because.
It is round.
the wind is high, it blows my mind. Love is old, love is new, love is all, love is you. Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue, love is old, love is new, love is all, love is you. At a certain point, I believe you have to make a decision for love or for life. Remember that scene in Shawshank Redemption near the end of the movie where one of the characters confronts the other, the two main characters, and he says, you have to choose. Do you choose life or are you choosing death? He made his choice. The choice was he chose life, and each of us has to make that choice. The what of that, I don't know if it's a why, but the way you choose that.
You're doing a show on why. You better make it a why.
Okay, why am I saying this? I'll tell you why. Because I want to leave you with a powerful question before we end the show. Because we have to end it now. But as a substitute for why, let me ask you this, Rochelle. What do we need to remember?
We need to remember that resistance is what we add to fear, pain, to make it last longer and hurt more.
Why?
Because I said so.
Ha, 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 ha,